function that is assigned to the unit, the letting out of state cultural property for economic development, the management or the property management of our property, the maintenance of the small harbors and cultural property. And we do have a social intervention program that we refer to. We do have special functions of convening and public work, the focus area on small harbors and state coastal property development under the ocean economy and And we have a national priority project on building three new harbors, especially Port Charles in the Northern Cape, Port St. John's in the Eastern Cape, and Port Edward in the Southern Cape. This is to ensure that the development of the ocean harbors is not confined. Fred Johnson will now take us to the special intervention program on the 16th maintenance and upgrading of the cloud operation.
Thank you, Mr. Governor, Chairperson, and honorable members, colleagues. Good morning. I'm on slide 16, special intervention project for maintenance and repair cloud propane fishing office. As indicated in the context in the response to the long outstanding maintenance and repair requirements at the Brooklyn Fishing Office in the Western Cape in 2012, the Steering Committee commissioned the development of spatial and economic development frameworks for the 12th Brooklyn Fishing Office, and this report was finalized in 2014. The aim of that commission activity was to direct the development and the modernization of the harbors in order to stimulate the local economies and to create much needed work opportunities. The SEDF identified critical capital and maintenance projects within the 12th Brooklyn Fishing Office to the value of 400 million. That was, of course, prior to the budget cuts that we experienced. And this is to initiate the process of repairing these harbors. The scope of works identified for the critical capital and maintenance of the Brooklyn Fishing Office was, first of all, for the removal of sunken vessels, the dredging of critical harbors, the repairs to slipways, repairs to jetties, quays, and breakwaters, shore crane maintenance, and infrastructure maintenance, and then lastly, security operations. All these elements are critical for the effective operations within the harbor. On the next slide, it's a depiction of where the activities are taking place in alignment with the district municipalities. So we've got the Western Cape, and then we've got the four district municipalities, and under them, we've got the spread of the different harbors in each district municipality. And as we basically refer to 12 Brooklyn Fishing Office, you will notice under Saldanha Bay, you also have Pepper Bay, which is linked to Saldanha Bay. That's why you have the reference only to 12 Brooklyn Fishing Office, as Pepper Bay is linked to Saldanha Bay. On the next slide, basically is just a depiction of what came out of the SEDFs. For now, if you can just take note of that, we will focus in into one particular harbor to explain to you how the SEDF envisages the improvement in the different harbors. So if I can then move to slide 20. Basically, the special intervention project progressed to date at a high level. The rollout plan of stage one was the inception in September 2016. With the appointment of PUCA, and then stage two was the concept and viability activity that took place. Thereafter, it was followed by design and development in March, and then in stage four, we got the documentation, followed immediately by the procurement and execution and construction in July 2017. The close-up and handover is aimed for March 2019. In the meantime, we have proceeded with certain activities on particularly the removal of sunken vessels and dredging. And for that purposes, the next slide depicts a picture of a bathymetric survey that was done in all of the harbors. And the one you see in front of you is specifically focused on Gordon's Bay. And what this survey does is sort of look at the depth of between the surface of the water and the surface on the ground. And as you can see, most of them is in the red zone, which means that they are fairly, the sand level is very high, which means a lot of dredging needs to take place. The IP level would be particularly blue. But as you note, there is no blue areas in the room, and this is Gordon's Bay. We've got quite a bit of challenge with sand drifting into the harbor. So for all the harbors, we've done this to guide us into the plan on how to, what level of dredging is required in the different harbors. If I can move to the next slide, at the same time, what was done was the condition assessment, which is already completed for all harbors. And the condition assessment basically focuses, if you look to your far right on the top, it will identify possible dredging areas. It will identify any dredging that is required to the northern, to the breakwalls. It will identify your sunken vessels and abandoned vessels that is in the harbor that is preventing mooring in certain areas. It will identify any repairs that is required for the quays, and it will look at jetty repairs. So these condition assessments have been completed in the office to assist us to identify the projects that needs to be rolled out. So if we can continue to slide 23, all items under the scope of works are currently in stage 3. Which means they are all in design and development stage. Items 1 and 2 from the scope of works, the removal of sunken vessels and dredging, has been prioritized. And the actual removal of sunken vessels will be executed in June, July 27. As we sit here, with the award of the contract will be taking place over the next 3 weeks. Dredging is currently awaiting the approval of the maintenance management plan as part of the final stage of the EIA that had to be conducted for the environmental impact assessment that had to be conducted for the dredging that needs to take place. The next slide then is an example of the SEDF precinct development and projected job creation that comes out of it. So for each harbor, as per the previous slide, slide number 19, this is what the SEDF then brought out. So right at the bottom you will notice there's a description that says precinct 1, precinct 2, 3 and 4. Now this whole development of the SEDF was done in collaboration with the different local authorities. They were consulted with their plans that they have to ensure that we link up particularly with tourism and other economic opportunities. So precinct 1 refers to small-scale fishing and tourism. Precinct 2 and this harbor is specifically the Houtway Harbor that we're looking at this morning. Precinct 2 is the multi-purpose area which could be anything from a hotel to a launching pad, basic things that is required in a harbor. And then precinct 3 would be your commercial fishing and fish processing precinct. And then precinct 4 is an intensive fish processing and general industry. And then precinct 5 is an area that is set aside for community interface types of activities that could take place. Then, as far as the numbers is concerned within the precinct, just as far as I can remember, the numbers, item 2, basically areas that was identified for smell refers to the different entry points that has been identified into the harbour. And then item 4 is your marine infrastructure to accommodate things like jetties and mooring facilities. Yeah, that is to formalize the water in this area. Then the next slide, slide 25, then takes us on to having completed the SDGM and looking at the types of projects, the projected jobs annually up until 2030, with the complete rollout of the SDGs, would then be between 4,200 and 5,700. That is now taking into consideration all the 12.
Gentleman says up to 2030, the jobs. But what is written here is from 2030, which is which?
Chairperson, I do apologize for that error. It is up to 2030. The number then is 4,200 to 5,700. The projected contribution to the GDP. Obviously, from a geographical, from the provincial, from the province side, would be 1.82 billion, then up to 2030. Apologies for that error there. And the source document that we use is was the SDF that was completed by Delta Consulting. Chairperson and honourable members, if I could go to slide 26. Again, the current, just to reflect on the indicators, the total fishing harbours, that currently receives revenue for the use of the harbour facilities. And however, DPW is responsible for the maintenance of the facilities at these harbours. So the initial budget requested for the complete rollout of the programme was 4 million. And 400 million, and the budget has been cut to 300 million. A reprioritized framework is being developed by FUHA to spend within the 300 million, excluding the sea harvest pier. Mr. Governor will just give you a brief indication of that sea harvest pier, what we're planning to do there. And then the proposed solution then from our side is for 2016-17. We've got a set aside amount of 80 million. A proposed budget for 2017-18 of 120 and then 18-19 of 200 million. Thank you, Chair.
Now, Mr. Johnson did indicate a resolution, and I will deal with that after Ms. Keller makes her presentation, so that they can context how those things can be. But before I go to the scale, the significant issue we picked up under the problem statement was the lack of management and maintenance of our coastal properties. So part of the functions of this new unit we created for the small harbors and coastal properties is to ensure that our properties are certainly identified in terms of damage, the land parcels, the buildings, the estuaries, and the unproclaimed houses. We have Jacob's Bay, we have Eastern Fontaine, we have Fish Bay. All these are what we need. So a focus only on the proclaimed is moving, missing out a significant chunk of our responsibility outside. And that the current inhibitors of no program, no budget, one will be fast-tracked by the establishment of the entity, that's the joint entity between that and public work for the radical. But two is looking at addressing the current inhibitors. If we take the Northern Cape, our regional office is in Kimberley, but our property is along the Atlantic Ocean, whether it is on the cliff, placed here, Port Lawrence, Mukubai, Alexander Bay, etc. You cannot manage that property from here. The physical distance is too enormous. And Mr. Chairperson members, I have physically been to most of our driven, especially see them, look at the state they are in, and decide on the methodology. We then realize that the only solution is a partnership with the local municipality. Who are they? You can establish partnerships with us to assist us in the management. And it becomes the theme of our approach on how to manage the state. More importantly, is to also look at how with the municipality we can work collectively in terms of getting out. And in this respect, currently, we have only left out 363 state coastal properties. 16 in the Northern Cape, 269 in the Western Cape. We have none let out in the Eastern Cape. And we have 48 in KwaZulu-Natal. And this is the underutilization of our properties. We will demonstrate our efforts of addressing in 2017, we had 86 expired letting agreements. We've extended these for a period not exceeding 6 months, and I'll explain that after the chairman makes the presentation. Why it's not so good. And there are some people who are leasing our property who are reluctant to pay higher amounts, and therefore it will be rent. But I'll deal with those. But Ms. Kelly is going to take us through in terms of our letting up later. Now, in terms of letting out, we also lease out properties to local municipalities. So it's not just the private individuals. Local municipalities lease our properties to run coastal resorts, to lease out to Cape Nature, Country Cars, etc. So we've just identified some of them on slide 29 and 30. Of importance currently, the 373 properties that we lease out on slide 31 brings in a revenue of 16.7 million. We did a survey, so it's not an audited survey, but we sent out a questionnaire to all the businesses to ask them how many people are employed in their business. The unaudited survey indicates 5,594. What I do know as a fact is that there are families and their livelihood depends on the job in these businesses. When the house-made factory was in threatened with closure 2 years ago, we had to close ranks with the deputy executive mayor of Cape Town to resist the environmentalists and the rich and ensure that Lucky Star remains in-house base, preserves the 100 jobs that we have. And it is that cooperation that requires us not just to preserve, but now to create new businesses and new jobs. In terms of our obligations, the key is that Small Harbour was originally an operation of the ocean economy, a sub-element to be dealt with under maritime transport and manufacturing. But given the enormity of the challenge we have, it was then decided, and a decision made by cabinet in 2013, that the small harbors and coastal properties should be a separate focus area. And I think it was quite a prudent decision because it helps us to focus exclusively on the properties along the 2,300 kilometers. Now, the theater will take us through our efforts in convening this laboratory. And it will demonstrate our collaborative approach, and it lays the basis for the question that was put to us, is economic development across the world. Okay?
Honorable members, honorable secretary, and my colleagues. Once again, my name is Monty, from the Shore Department of Public Works. But let me tell you now, I'm very interested to be representing a small province, and once at that, a small town in the province of Eastern Cape. I never thought. Yeah, there were four problems.
Oh,
but it lasts for a few minutes. Thank you very much. We started engaging with the municipality from year 2015 when the national projects were identified. There's three preparatory national projects. One in the Eastern Cape, one in the KwaZulu-Natal province, and one in the Northern Cape. But also we started with our convening of the Small Harbors and State Coastal Property Development Laboratory, which is under Options Economy of Operation Pakistan. We had a municipal and provincial briefing, which is a pre-lab engagement, which was completed in March 2017. We also had a public participation session, which began last year, December, from the 20th of December. And the focus discussions that we were concentrating on was the education, training, skills development, and legal matters, harbors and coastline coastline security and employment, economic and infrastructure development, and its alignment of our proposed projects within the FCDF and the municipal IDP. The pre-laboratory consultation with all the coastal municipalities allowed us to obtain a preliminary list of priority projects for each province heading into the investors' conference in August 2017, and the national laboratory estimated to begin in October 2017. So those priority projects were listed by the municipalities themselves, which did take that mandate as national government. The main purpose of our engagement with coastal municipalities is to ensure that proposed projects are endorsed by municipalities and included in municipal infrastructure development plans. It is also to ensure that municipalities commit to expediting the approval of zoning and other municipal approvals in the relation of the proposed projects that are proposed. We have consulted with the municipalities today. In the Northern Cape, we have consulted with the Namaqua district, and there it was the first Gulf municipality, Namakoi, and Gamesburg municipality. The engagement started on the 20th and the 21st of January, where our DBG met with those municipalities. They met at the office of the Premier. The Namaqua district municipalities and its coastal municipalities were represented. The province will help consolidate all projects in the preparation for the national land, which is due to take place in May 2017. The dates are changing because of the uncertainties that we are accompanying. And in the Western Cape Province. We have next week the four district municipalities, which is the Westfold district municipality, the Overberg district municipality, the Eden district municipality, and City of Cape. And all the local municipalities are listed under each district municipality. The provincial planning session was held on the 11th of January 2023, and the Western Cape had three pre-lab engagements. One was at the West Coast District, another one was in Eden or Overberg District, and the last one at the City of Cape Town. In addition to this, a consolidation session was held on the 2nd of March 2017 to brief the provincial government. The West Coast District engagement was held on the 15th and 16th of February 2022, where all municipalities participated in the pre-lab engagement. The detailed presentations were done by each respective municipality, including the district municipality. The municipalities had a working session to consolidate a list of coastal properties along the West Coast. And all district projects were rated accordingly to the EZ project prioritization tool, which we received from the West Coast district. We are using the same tool for all the provinces in order to rate all the projects that are identified. The Overberg and Eden district engagements were from the 20th to the 21st of February 2017. The following municipalities were not present at the pre-lab engagement: the Neisner, Overberg, and Eden District. A detailed presentation was done by each respective municipality. The municipalities had a working session to consolidate a list of coastal priority projects within the Overberg and Eden District. So all projects that were rated according to the EZS project prioritization tool were submitted. But we are still in the continuation of receiving other projects that were not sent to us by the municipalities. Under the City of Cape Town, the engagement was on the 23rd of February 2017. There, the Department of Public Works conducted a presentation on the spatial and economic development framework for Causeway, Southway, and Gordonsway. A detailed presentation was done by the City of Cape Town, with the priority project being the proclaimed fishing hub. During that engagement, it emerged that more focus is required on training and skills development, as well as empowering small businesses in the metro. And also during this engagement, the City of Cape Town informed that the department will not adopt the proposed FDF until the disbanding of the Harbour Steering Committee. And the consolidation session for the Western Cape was on the 2nd of March 2017, where the Department of Public Works conducted a consolidated presentation on the end of Department of Environmental Affairs and Development Planning and Transport and Public Works. So each district presented their list of priority projects which they intend on taking on the national laboratory. The Western Cape province is highly appreciative of the work of the Small Harbours Unit and fully supports the process. In the Eastern Cape, we also have four district municipalities, two metro municipalities, district which is Alfred Block, the Oakland District, Amatole District, and Sarapatman. And we have a Buffalo City Metro Municipality and Nelson Mandela Metro. We started engaging with those municipalities on the 20th of December 2016, where we met with the Port St. John's, King Sabato Darin, Devon Dabe, Fred Kai, Sarah Batman, and Inuva Hill municipality. And that engagement was led by our Director General, The municipalities were briefed on Operation Pakisa, the convening of the lab, and the work of small harbors and coastal development units within the department. On the 31st of, on the 30th of January, our Director General and our Deputy Director General, Mr. Governor, met with the political principals, and excuse me, sorry, not principals, and accounting officers to discuss strategic priorities of the province. On the 31st, we met with the technical team, with the political parties, the office of the premier, the traditional leaders, the mayor, the MM, and the director of the department. There we were fine-tuning the proposed priority areas in preparation for our provincial consultation meeting. On the 16th and 17th of February, it was a continuation of our meeting, but at the technical level, where we were also identifying more priority projects from the municipalities that could not attend our previous engagement. And on the 6th of March, we met with the Office of the Premier, the technical staff, as well as some of the political leaders to discuss the priority projects that were presented to us. And that's when we started working on the tools, the EZS tools, to list the priority projects that we're going to be able to take from favor. On the 8th, 14th, and 16th of March 2017, the municipalities worked in finalizing the priority projects in preparation for the pre-lab consolidation at the national level. In KwaZulu-Natal, we met with four district municipalities, Umkhanyako District Municipality, Uthunguni District Municipality, Ilembe District, and Ugu. We also met with the Metropolitan of eThekwini. And the meeting started also on the 20th of December, where we did the same thing that we did in the Eastern Cape, Western Cape and Northern Cape. So we met with all the large local municipalities, Ugu District, Umdoni District, Mandela local municipalities, Kwazulu-Natal, and Rainbow. The municipalities were also briefed on Operation Pakisa, the convening of the lab, and the work of the unit within the government. A task team was established with members from each local and district municipality to manage the province, the province's engagement going forward. And on the 10th of February 2017, the meeting was attended by MEC of KwaZulu-Natal Public Web, Mr. Kune, and acting HOB, Ms. Linda, from the district and local coastal municipalities and their development agencies. A working session on the identification of municipal priorities was held. And on the 27th of February 2017, the finalization of municipal stakeholder list and the finalization of priority projects with Mr. J. Lopez, who is the one who developed the tool that we're using, was held. To brief the MEC, okay, on the 9th of March, we met also to brief the MEC and team of the Operation Pakisa Oceans Economy on small harbors and coastal property development units. The provincial engagement is what we aim, the progress to date, and we also discuss the way forward. The areas that that were identified and that we are to focus on is the education and training under maritime and aquaculture training centers, the renewable of energy under wind farms and solar farms to wind, which is seawater, the farming, which is aquaculture on land, mariculture, salt production, the fish processing and packaging, which is canning, fish meal, the food and beverage, which is restaurants, breweries, and distilleries, the government services that are involved in all of this is DEF, DIA, SATA, and SAS. The hospitality industry, which is hotels, holiday resorts, caravan parks, and restaurants. The infrastructure development, we are concentrating on redeveloping the harbors, mooring facilities, jetties, and the maintenance of the fishery. The special economic zone, the waterfront, the office park, and retail park and industrial park. Analogically, we are concentrating on the fuel storage, the warehousing, and under maintenance and repair, we concentrate on vessel and vessel maintenance and repair, the yacht mobile facilities, harbor infrastructure, spares and supplies. Under manufacturing and engineering services, we concentrate on small ships or boat loading. Under mining, we are concentrating on alluvial mining, and then the pump pipelines and pump houses, which is a pipeline and a pump house. Rescue, safety and security, NSRI, we are working together with them, the life saving, the safety and security. Then the sport and recreation, the yacht club, fishing club, water theme park, specialty events like sports, food, cultural, etc. Then the tourism side, we concentrate there on the on building museums, tourism office, and then the transport. Water taxis and ferries. Then there's helicopter case, water and waste management, ice making and supply, desalination, waste management and processing. We did the leasing of the project in order to avoid the overlapping of the project within the municipality. Because our municipality, or should I say, our country is not well exposed to the coastal development. And therefore, by leasing, we are trying to open their minds in concentrating on how we can bring the small project, or can I say, a big green project, whilst waiting for the harbor to be done today. I will jump over to Mr. Davina.
Thank you, Ms. Janet. Now, that list we get from what businesses are currently operating in our coastline and harbors, and from proposals that are sometimes brought to municipalities or to the provincial economic development agencies or to ourselves to come into our harbors. For example, in Embanis, we have a request for a piece of land for a helipad. We currently have production of energy, especially using solar energy in the Emerald Farm in Hansbach, whereas Abergold is using turbine water, the water they pump for their Abergold Farm produces energy. So there's a variety of economic activity around which you can attract investment in state coastal property. So what you will realize is more than just fishing. Fishing is only one element. The point we, in our engagement with municipalities, is given the lowering of quota, the depletion of our fishing stock, we have to transform our properties or harbors into new economic zones. And what is going to be there? So our engagement, as Michele has put it there, is to show municipalities that we don't need waterfronts anymore. Because there's a general tendency, everybody wants a waterfront like you. There's a variety of industry or commerce or entrepreneurs you can attract by giving them a range of opportunities. But we're also showing you that we have weddings that take place in our lives. We have conferences and church services. So your property not be limited to just fishing and fishing. If we are to succeed in attracting investment and redefining our economic zone more sustainable. Now, I'm on slide 54. Okay. To pick up from there, we must firstly thank the West Coast District for availing to us the software for these years at the George University. And that's the software they've allowed us to use in the other provinces here. So the cooperation between us and our provincial and municipal colleagues is very high. I can proudly say, save for one or two who are not just on board, we do not have any. We have absolute cooperation because we are taking quite common purpose in wanting to develop this property for each other. And as the scale of it, we've engaged with the levels of engagement varies in problems depending on the country. In terms of our provincial priority list, as the Senator pointed out, we haven't finalized it because there are still some municipalities to come on board. Secondly, to refine them from a district, provincial and national perspective to have a spread of economic rather than a concentration on the same thing. But currently, in Northern Cape, working in the province in the Makwa District, we've identified, and I'd rather share this example because this gives you a good picture. In working with the province in the Makwa District, there are three provinces, three municipalities, Richardson, Namakoi, and Kamisa. Fort Knowledge is in Richardson. Place here is in Namakoi. And on the trip is this coming. The decision we made is to focus them in three different ways. I'm going to share this as an example. We said, Fort Knowledge, now it's just used as a proper commercial property transfer, to focus itself as a, all three of them have alluvial dimension. All three of them have water. All three of them may have some form of abalone. In addition to that, Fort Knowledge should be developed by agreement with all of us as a new commercial multi-use zone as a gateway to the market. Kamisberg, the reality is that it's becoming, whether we like it or not, as a transfer from De Beers to public work to the municipality, a coastal resort. When we want to attract investment, we focus on it being a coastal resort, lifestyle resort, sporting. We attract a different group of investors. And on the trip becomes the aquaculture and mariculture hub. So in working with them, you realize our focus on attracting investment is different for each of them. So in addition to mining, which we like to happen, lobster and abalone and some fishing. We are focusing the investment. And this example will demonstrate what we like to achieve using our property, whether it's in the Western Cape or the Central Cape. Therefore, the engagement with the municipality, the district, and the province. So I just share that as an example. The major meeting we have on Site 55 is the provincial, is the National Tree Laboratory Consolidation to consolidate the work we did up until that point. Okay. And municipalities participate nationally to set up their institutions. Each province gave a provincial statement reflecting on our engagement, reflecting on their priorities and reflecting on how we work together. But the most important is now brought on board the four economic development regions. CIKZN, Sustainable Investment KZN, West Growth, which is the Economic Development Agency of the Western Cape, ECDC, and MC. The minister outlined that our target is to attract 12 billion worth of investments in our processes by 2019 and 20 billion by 2020. In attracting this investment, we should create at least 1,000 stable jobs and 2,000 job opportunities. If we work hard cooperatively and collectively, that is not hard to achieve. In his speech, the Minister of Public Works focused on the issue of empowerment and job creation. And I've been addressing communities. The first is distributing the share of ownership of a business to local businesses, cooperatives, and individuals. If somebody is going to come and spend 2 billion building a multi-use facility in housing, we are saying that the local businesses in housing are being to buy shares. The cooperatives, the small businesses, and even individuals, so that there's a distribution of ownership. The second is related to the dilemma of the historic exploitation of especially the individual fishermen. Our colleagues in DAP have done a great job to give individual fishermen license to their own. Unfortunately, anyone, currently, people exploit our fishermen with the quotas by taking the quotas, paying them off, either throughout the year or once, with our fishermen owning nothing, and becoming successful today, one of 90%. So we are saying, any business operating in our property that uses those quotas must start giving shares to the fishermen. The next, third area is any investment in a community. So let's take it, we are building a distillery in Lampet Bay. Then, that business must ensure that upfront local suppliers and local vendors specific in lastly, we have been indicating to you as a problem statement is having part of the process an organized approach to supporting individual small and micro businesses by working with the Department of Small Business Development. I've even taken the initiative of creating a partnership with Chambuka La Cabrera to come and support the small business. So they have volunteered to be a partner. In terms of the investor confidence, as government is a public property. Yes, we are entitled to receive answers. But he thought in complying with the public interest that our investor confidence is the public approach to solicitation proposals. So we envisage that each province working with us will host investor conferences and we will pair investment proposals with the municipal priority project. We expect the investor conferences to take place during the month of August. Thereafter, once we go out on that roadshow, we expect the month of September to receive the proposals. So that when we meet as a national laboratory, in partnership with the province and the relevant district and municipality, we make appropriate decisions on which investment to accept. But our priority is new businesses. And we will, because we are working in four provinces, we want to move our engagement in the four provinces to ensure maximum participation. Because if you take a laboratory, there are only 100 people that must participate. 50 from government and 50 from non-government. If you look at the list of municipalities we've given you, okay, we will exclude. So by going and having it in this order, every municipality has a new participation. So that no decision is made about economic development without the direct participation of that community. So we do have some dates proposed on slide 59. The importance is not the date itself, it's the week that we are suggesting. Because we now know that ministers want to be involved, that many premiers want to be involved, MECs want to be involved, and mayors. So we try and synchronize the dates based on the availability. Equally, the presidency is the driving force of Operation Shocking. And the availability of the president, either the opening of the president. So we've suggested those dates. We are on track to meet that, and next week we have engagement in all four provinces. 20th is Eastern Cape, 21st is Western Cape, 28th is KwaZulu-Natal, and 30th is Northern Cape. In terms of the inhibitions of convening the laboratory and attracting this investment and creating the jobs, firstly, public work did not convene it as it was supposed to in 2016. However, we worked in earnest since July 2016 and we are now on track. Unfortunately, given the late start, funding is an issue, but that's a matter we've now raised with our minister and our director general, and that will be addressed. There's not to complain about. We are also working with municipalities to gather the baseline information that is required for the convening of the report. Fortunately for us, it requires a consolidation of much of the information that is already sitting in the social development framework and ideas of each of the municipalities. It's a consolidation of that initiative. We have proposed to the Minister and the DG a budget of 45 million. We think it is a worthwhile investment to attract talent in the event. We do have national priority projects, and there are three that I have brought to your attention. I mentioned them earlier. Phase one is $4, costing longer than $4 million. In phase two, we have opportunities in Plains Cay and Honda Cliff, in Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, Port Alfred and Dunluvi, in KwaZulu-Natal, Port Shepstone and Shelly. Okay. I think the version I sent you, the secretary, would have included Hibberdeen, but Hibberdeen is a junior project. Some background about the national priority project and how they have emerged. In the case of Rain Coneri Municipality, which was formerly by this disposal, the municipality took the initiative of contacting public works and engaging them since 2013. In October 2014, the engagement with the municipalities began to focus on our properties, especially in Margate and other areas. We have Wimpies that operate in our property, we have information centers and many other restaurants. So as part of that engagement with the Rain Coneri Municipality, we realized that a partnership will help us to develop those properties. And after various engagements, Hibberdeen was identified as a possible small harbor or water. However, in our further engagement with the municipality, we then realized that the waterfront was not going to be helpful. Secondly, the establishment of a lobster facility is necessary to either software or Port Edward. And we chose Port Edward because it's the heart of the East Coast lobster. In respect of Port St. John, the Port St. John municipality invited us to engage with them in July and June 2015. And from those engagements, Public Works owns a piece of land in Port St. John. The municipal offices are in a key part of the harbor property. So we then said, why don't we pool our properties together and let us develop Port St. John beyond what it was once a functional hub, like Port Elizabeth, etc. So that's how those discussions came up. And from those, then, and looking at our work in the Western States, we then realized that we can focus on building. In the Northern Cape, there were various engagements between the province and the local municipality. Originally, Bukumbayi was identified. But upon interacting with the National Department of Transport and others, we then realized that that is a commercial part more in the space of Transnet rather than in the space of public one. And therefore, we decided to focus on where we, together with Transnet, own part knowledge. The Transnet part and the public works part. It's like Saldana. Saldana, there are three parts to it. Public works is what you call Saldana and Pepperdine, and Transnet has its own part related to the IMF. So, we then, now, we also then, in terms of a visit to China, decided to use the fund established by the People's Republic of China to solicit grant funding to conduct feasibility and feasibility. In principle, an agreement was reached that South Africa may access the grant funding for conducting work in the three houses. And as a result, we've agreed that the work we need to do for the three will use those funds. However, we are still in the process of finalizing. That's what I go to try to think. In order to access that, we would have to work with the Department of Environmental Affairs and DECO. That process has begun. The MOUs that has to be signed by the accounting officers, that's our Director General, that has been finalized. The MOU between our minister and the Minister of Commerce is still being finalized. Once that's done, then the MOUs can be signed off. And what will the MOUs provide? They provide the funding for what is on slide 67. The two stages. Stage one is where we access to the $4 million to fund the pre-feasibility, feasibility, and high-level design. If that is successful, then you can go to stage two, which is the penultimate design, model testing, final design, and building of the harbour. And we are not building harbours. Our approach that Mr. Johnson indicated, there will be a spatial development framework to create an economic zone. Your harbour is located in a zone. If you build a harbour without an economic zone, it becomes a white area. So the urgent action, which we met with our minister on Tuesday last, and it's been agreed that, one, we will expedite work on the finalization of the MOU. Two, when that is agreed to, then we could conclude the necessary agreement with the People's Republic of China to access the grant. Chairperson and members of the committee, we are hard at work with our colleagues in the municipality, district and local, the province, to start using our property space. Two, we are engaging with the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries to have a new management model, even on an interim basis, for the management of our communities. I don't, it is common cause that our 12 proposed fishing harbors have been in the media for all the world. Whether it is drugs or prostitution or the lack of security and high levels of theft or the vandalization of our people. So we are busy trying to ensure that that is being done. Part of the work that KUKA is doing Mr. Johnson indicated the majority. Once we spend our 300 million fixing and repairing, we are putting a dredging maintenance contract in place as part of the 300 million. We are putting a security infrastructure. Part of my model, given that businesses are operating at very nominal rates, they do not pay market rates because we prioritize jobs in the business. It's for them to make a contribution for the security. If the businesses operating there make a contribution, then holistically we'll be able to. We do not want a December brass band issue where our people are denied access to the beach because the business operates. We need a security that protects the businesses, prevents theft and vandalism, but does not prevent our people access. I have been throughout much of the coastline. It's amazing that very few places on the coastline you can call black. I have been to Kitty's Five, Paternoster. It was once a black community. It's no longer. I've looked at KwaZulu-Natal. If it's not for Uncle Baba, you can't say that there's a black community. So, as black people, we have been significantly prejudiced in terms of accessing the coastline and having access to the coastline even just for recreation. So access is as important when we are developing the coastline for our people. And we are hopefully going to use this opportunity to improve access to our people. For business as well as for thank you.
Thank you, Kenny Jim. Let me take Honorable Adams, Honorable Makrofa, Honorable Dani, and Honorable Pig, Honorable Mandara in that order. Okay. And then Honorable Masaya. Honorable Adams.
Okay.
I speak in Afrikaans. No, no, it's fine. The regional manager, Mr. Johnson, is here to translate the direction. Show him, but no one understands Afrikaans.
Only when I speak.
Honorable Kotani will translate to Honorable Matlopa.
This one will be that fierce.
Thank you, Mr.
President. Mr. Governor, we have long awaited the feeling of operation of TISA. And I would like to congratulate you on the fact that you included the young women. Very important for me that women should get more engaged in departmental policy. And it's a woman that is a child of the coast and know what is going on. Chairperson also as a register. I would say all and because of the public order. The first vraag is the governor. Heel gehoord van die kleine haven en partij van hulle ken ons ons. Want hulle is so klein dat hulle hier is op een lange kaart geskim. En dan denk ek ook een klein baie kleine gemeenschap is. Uit hierdie havens leen van ons tijd op ons maak. En as jy de volgende keer weerkom, nie is met die PNGI. wijzer ons specifiek die aantal kleinhavens, zoals jullie gecategoriseerd in de vorige landkaart. En een baie belangrijke ding dat jy ook in ten slotte gesê. Ons het een kustlijn van meer as 3000 kilometer. En die kustlijn van ons is uniek. En dan praat ik specifiek van een perspectief van een noodkapland. Bij ons, achter het ons meer. Die kust is ongerept. Hoe maak ik die stuur? Met die nodig om wat er in de omgeving te doen. Ons geklein Griekenland in die nood. Ze houden onze kustlijn uniek net te ontwikkelen om voor ons klein vissers toegang te geven tot die zee. En ons moet toch als commissaris het bijdrage maken in de Noordkap. Ek so in Noordkap is om het kiemen die omtrent 1000 kilometer van Port Lawrence. En we hier kunnen daar van hulle die kunnen net die moeite doorbeleven. En ek het nou geluister, maar dat is een punt van Alexander Bay. En Alexander Bay is een belangrike gebied omdat het ook die uitmonding van die Oranje rivier is. En omdat in die toekomst daar een dam gebouwd gaan word na die Sienoele Brug. Ons geluk sien het allemaal in die nieuws. So die teenwoordige van Fabrikoor is definitief ook in Alexander nodig. Aanspraak wat ek mevrou net gesê in alle dorpies in die Noordkap. Jammer dat ek een specifieke Noordkap so my aanhaal, maar die anders kan het ons opdoen met hulle provincie. Daar gebied is gelijk aan diamante, alweerde diamante. En ek weet van die wijnmaatschappij wat ek gebruik, wat aan die condities daar nie, gaan onze gebieden nationaliseer, ek wil een klein sê in die gebied. Dan, achter het voorzitter, ek sien die twee willekom datums vir die printing, en ons gaan ons klein datums net jammer dat ons nie daar gaan wees van die printing gaan plaatsvind. Het sal interessant gewees het om net te gaan intik en te gaan printing, nie om deel te neem, en nie dat ons wil dat ons in die regere van regere respecteer moet. Dan in die gangen die MOU's wat met China gesloot op wat is een mens weet daar gekregen dat ons het ons vastteken en ek hoop die MOU sluit in 90% van die werkers met Zuid-Afrikaans is op 5% op 91%. Wanneer voorzien jy dat die MOU geteken gaan? Al commitment to local empowerment and job creation. En die tweede bullet. Sy 57. Make by ownership is by eienaarskap is by organisatie het ons in plek. Tweede bullet van die gaat position related by this investment and projects pro rata share must be given to local fishermen. And the local fishermen must be in word of this type of democracy at least. And all we have to do is to do it. And with the strip of the pen, take it on first. The focus is on the other. What is the right place to do it? die demokrasie van eienaarskap sal geniet lyk teer.
Cabinet, revise it, go back to the cabinet. Cabinet approved, no result. In 2016, now they are meeting again, the DGs. They want to review the prior cabinet decision. Again, it's about reviewing, not implementing anything. My concern, Chair, is based on the fact that there are acts that are empowering this department to implement the decision that they recommended in the cabinet and cabinet approved. And Chair, if you see them coming and, you know, Basangana Besugan without any results, you see, Chair, in 19 January 2017, DGs meet, just meet, to reaffirm the decision to establish the management. You know? Just to reaffirm. It's part of the report. To reaffirm. The decision has been already taken, but need to reaffirm. Listen, as if it's not enough. After reaffirming, they go, they indicate that now there is an agent, you know, what's that? 11, slide number 11. They are saying after meeting, you know, just to reaffirm the decision that is there, not to implement it. To reaffirm, as if it's not enough, they said on the thing, as a matter of agent, there needs to be an engagement between the Department of Public Works and Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries to agree, you see, on and implement security measures as proclaimed fishing harbors. They have already met. Now again, they must run again and meet only for that. No time for implementation to these DGs. They just meet, and, you know, as if there is no willingness to implement it. You know, it's my concern, Chair. I may be having a concern that the others does not have. Chair, it's really a concern. The policy makers agree on what was presented to them by the officials, and they don't want to implement change. You know, in 2012, turnaround strategy, yes, in the report, they take a decision on this. But you see the meetings, when are the meetings? Because now we must go as politicians in 2019 without these things being implemented. Third administration, fourth administration, we are going towards the end as the fifth administration. Really, this thing is not really affecting me. It's affecting our communities, it's affecting service delivery. One of the responsibilities of Department of Public Works is to create jobs. In their presentation, they are indicating in their problem statement. It's a problem statement. They are fixing it. It's good that you identified it. We congratulate you on that you identified it. But when you look at it, Honorable Chair, I may say congratulations. You know, when you look at this problem statement, Chair, I don't know. Poor management, lack of development of local skills within the marine infrastructure, you know, on slide number 6, research and development sector. This is going to 24 years of democracy. Do we mean to say that there were no people that were employed there to deal with this particular matter? You know, this thing of a lack of consequence management is a problem in the government. You know, people just run with murder, but they get salaries. I want to check now, as you are mentioning, to go unproclaimed a harbor now, do you have a plan of involving the local community? Do you have a plan? Because you can't keep on just all the time getting a report that lack of this and lack of this without an action plan to say what we do with those challenges that we are presenting in the community. In our ears, really, some of the things we don't want to listen to, you know, because we listen, we say we'll give you support, nothing. You just need to reaffirm. You know this thing of meeting to reaffirm? It doesn't come on water well to me, a colleague. Do you have a plan? Level development of local skills with the marine infrastructure. You know, you have indicated the maintenance program and the things that need to be maintained in this small harbor, especially the proclaimed one, because we have done major research there. But what I'm not taking is, especially with the Department of Public Works. You know, if you read your document, turnaround strategy that time, it was like, you know, the workshop must be built as early as yesterday in order to deal with the issue of the maintenance. You know, we are talking about the lack of job opportunity. You know what happened when we were in the, what do you call this thing, where Mandela was arrested? Broken Island. You know, there was a workshop there. There is a workshop. I don't know whether it's still there. There was a workshop. In that workshop, there are people that were employed just to do maintenance, to deal with those particular issues. You know what the department do? They employed one person to take the job of all these people, and you guess what the report said. The report said there are no materials for these people to do their job. So they employ one person to take the job of the other. Colleagues, are we really, Mr. Jones, you remember that? You remember, we raised it very sharply. But if again, it was like 2012, when did I join Parliament? 2012, something like that, when I joined Parliament. I met this thing. Now in 2017, status quo. No difference. In Western Cape, because that's where we're going. Because they are proclaimed. These are the small harbors where the focus was and where things were happening. The others are unproclaimed. We went, you know, to see this thing, to say even today it's like that. Hi to me. I don't know why they brought me back here, because I'm just coming from appropriation. When I'm looking at, you know, when I'm looking at what they are saying, Honorable Chair, around the issue of the budget, can I just pose a question? Have you received the work unfunded mainly, the comments? Because you said you have got nothing, it's like I've got nothing. This one has got nothing. Now, it's just not, I don't know what to call it. Is it a mandate, unfunded mandate, that we are having? The legislation now, because now again, they are still doing revision. Now, they said we must revise this thing again, the cabinet decision, so that when we give it to them, it's a final. The first one was not final, the second one was not final, being submitted by the very same department. And now again we are revising so that it can be fine. Colleagues, really, to us, this is not something that we are expecting the way it is happening. We hope, as we are moving to unproclaim a small harbor, you have got a clear plan. You know, Mr. Gaggett was correct. He said, you know, here it's not an issue of fishing only. It is an issue there of, you know, we can create a lot. harbour, you know, transport. In South Africa, it's like Father Christmas, you know. Harbour, we don't have even the boats that are working in this harbour. Who's supposed to come up with a plan and say, if we want to really create jobs and also develop our economy, these are the package of the things that we have. Maybe in future we'll get that one. Chair, I'm sorry because I will request to leave earlier. I'm preparing for the debate this afternoon. But I want to hear it really because I'm not getting 22 by going to Parliament. Luckily, I went there. When I came here, same thing that I read in 2012. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Well, Honorable Madova, I prepared my contribution to this afternoon's debate in 1 hour, 40 minutes flight from this land. That was around about 9 years. Thank you very much, Chair, for the presentation. It was quite enlightening. And both positive as well as in negative terms. I will not reiterate the point that has been so stressed, and emphasized on by Honorable, Madam. There has been very, very lack, very, very pronounced lack of expediency in dealing with this matter from 2005 to 2016-17. It's quite evident. And we can only implore the department to improve on that. I had already drafted some saving remarks, but I was happy to see that now you've started moving. And that's one of the reasons why I will not delve into that. Let's get back to what matters now. Why is the land not appropriately zoned? You made a remark to that effect. By the municipality. Would you say that the fact that Stroma X is packed in the residence is having an effect? Is it a limiting factor? That is the act that was passed in 2013, which gave powers to the municipalities to do their, planning. But now it's packed in the president. I have also said in the rural development report of communities, that's why I know. And I know it's not being implemented at the moment. I've got a clue from some of the residents, but not the platform to say that. Is that having an effect? And if so, how do you propose to get around that? And then looks like somewhere along the line we picked up some problems. What was the risk analysis profile when the original plan was drawn up in 2005 with cabinet approvals in 2009 and so on? Did anybody draw up a risk profile to say, here is the grand plan, but we are not in Holy Land yet, and these are the problems that we anticipate we will come across, and this is how we will mitigate them. Was there a risk profile drawn up? I want a yes or a no. The implementation of the Marine Living Resources Act by DAP is an absolute shambles. Just like Honorable, I also serve in that portfolio committee. Just to link up everything we do with land, culture, properties, and all that. Because I come from a very small country. So I have to make sure that I can synchronize my intervention. We know it's an absolute shambles. Day in and day out, we're getting delegations, of people who complain that, there were so many applications, but only a small portion has been approved, and they don't seem to be having, any principle-based, answer or approach to the way they allocate, right? Now, what concerns me here is the fact that so many people are complaining against government, sitting government, And sitting government does not seem to have a principle or policy-based resolution to this. Now, if you are working in collaboration with them, providing infrastructure, you know, if I'm okay in assuming your role in the whole, you know, fishing industry, what is your proposed solution, you know, to this? They are even intending reviewing the marine living, you know, resources apps in order to facilitate, you know, a better allocation of the fishing rights. On page of slide 27, you declared that there is no maintenance program for coastal state-owned properties. What a pity. Why is there no maintenance program? I mean, that's a big hole, Honorable Chair. To say we have tried to implement a program of maintaining state properties is something else. But to say there is no maintenance program, why would public works have no maintenance program? We deal with the budget of the department year in and year out. We have not come across a line that says we have got no plans for maintaining state properties. You know that is a function that rests with the U.S. Department, in particular the division that deals you know, with coastal properties and the like. Because if there is no maintenance program, then those properties deteriorate, and as they deteriorate, it sets back whatever intention government might have had to utilize them in order to advance the cause of economic development. That is the social economic impact. Why is there no maintenance program? Now here, slide 56 reads together with the slide where you deal, you tell us that there will be, or slide 25. Slide 25, you say that you're looking to create jobs between 4,200 and 5,700 up to 2030. That's starting from now. Now, on slide 56, you tell us that we aim to attract investments of over 12 billion by year 2019. I've just done a little arithmetic here. Because point number two there says this is emphasis that will facilitate the creation of over 1,000 stable jobs directly linked. Now I hope I have got my figures correct. To me it sounds like it's going to cost about 12 million rands to create one job if 12 billion creates 1,000 jobs. You can do your own calculation. I may be wrong. I was not the best student when it came to arithmetic as well as mathematics. Now, is this the best option for South Africa at this point in time? To spend 12 million to create one stable job? How much are these 12 million round jobs going to pay? If government spends 12 million rands to create my job, how much am I going to earn? As against an investment of 12 million on me, just to create one, let alone how I operate and everything that goes with sustaining a job. How much of these people are going to add that you're looking forward to spending investment of 12 million a job? You must have done your calculation to say it's going to cost 12 million. This is like establishing a cabinet minister. Honestly, it's in that ratio. Now, how much are these people going to add? I want to be sure that you are not planning recklessly on how to spend public funds. Then you go to China at a high cost and you bring back a paltry 51 million. What is South Africa going to get out of that 51 million from China? Secondly, around that China commitment, what are we going to give back to China in return? I want specific answers to this. Because we hear about this, you're even planning another costly trip, you know, to China, DDT, DG, and others.
just to try to get 51 million. I mean, what is 51 million across the oceans? What are we going to get after 51 million? How many jobs? 12 into 48, 4 jobs. Basically, you're going to China to create 4 jobs. Is that the arithmetic? Does that make sense in anybody's mind? We're excluding the cost of flying to China, the hotel at Alice. Does that make sense, DDG? What are we going to get? And what is China going to get? Because Chinese would not put down 4 million and get nothing out of it. So we want answers to that. Otherwise, Chair, without us getting specific responses to this 4 million in China, we would like to suggest to the department that the whole record is clear. We need to get to know what is the return on investment, you know, about this Chinese trade. Not necessarily against China as such. I've never been to that part of the world. But we would love to know the return on investment. Your statement on page 57, your proposed share ownership, is very positive. Welcome it. This comes to the fishing. But we would like to know what are the percentages. Because if you don't check thoroughly on that space, this is just a broad principle to say that there's going to be share ownership. Because this is the very reason why we're getting delegation. If I can show you the bulk of emails that I got from the Eastern Cape fishermen over the weekend, I've just not had enough time. You saw this. I've not had time to read through them. Western Cape, they're bombarding us with emails, looking for every member of the portfolio committee to put pressure on government to try and find, create jobs out of this. And so this is the advantage of having Mr. Honorable Van Dalen here as well as myself, because we both serve in GAP. So we know what's behind what you're telling us about here. And that's why we are able to come up with these questions. People who don't serve in that committee may not have all that information. You provide infrastructure so that they can be fishing, right? So that people can earn an income. Where is it going to come from? Now, also, on those 4,200 jobs, can you give us specifically how and in which space they are going to be created? We have seen now what Operation Fatita is all about. In which spaces are these jobs going to be created? We can't sit here and just be satisfied with a blank general statement to say over 4,000 jobs are going to be created. 2019 is just next door. Where exactly are they going to be? In logistics? In fishing? We want to know, we would like to get a separate report specific to say this is where these jobs are going to be created. Because we're not here just for generic statements. Okay? And what are the implications of the government's I think that's my deal for the day. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the presentation. Just a question for clarity. With regards to the entire model or what is being presented, I have a view, which at this point in time is out in the sun. I believe that it can be done a better way. I don't believe this is the correct unit, or by the establishment of this unit is the correct way to approach this. Opportunity. I also would, based on the presentation, the regards of the presentation, the presenter, the DDG, I just hope that the way he does his work, the enthusiasm is the same as the way he presented the presentation. The problem I have sometimes, I've been here long enough now, is that, and I'm hoping that I'm wrong in this case, is that sometimes, you know, you get a good presentation, and the presentation is for us, but it's not for the people out there. Because at the end of the day, it's not about putting something on paper, it's about coming up with a solution for the people out there that need us to make these decisions. So I just have a few comments with regards to the questions with regards to the presentation, Honorable Chair. Firstly, the And it leads me to my statement that I would like to make regarding slide number 40, which all those the mandate functions. Yeah, it's good and well to have these plans, but do we have the necessary skills in order to implement these plans? Because if we look at the letting out of state coastal property, so I just have a question with regard to that, and I know the question will be yes, but you know, at this point in time it might just be a rhetorical question, but I have a question is, do we have the necessary skills to approach such a project? That is those the functions that are listed on slide number 14. If I move on to slide number 16 rather, the first bullet point deals with the 2012 where my colleague went on about the establishment of the Ishma. And then it took 2 years for the proclamation of the fishing harbour. So it was commissioned in 2012, but the report was only finalized in 2014. Now, that is a concern that it takes 2 years to finalize a report after the establishment of this fishing on slide number 17, the amount that is indicated there now, I'm pleased to see that there's a low amount there of 400 million, but can I ask a question? There's no detail of how that amount is going to be used and where that amount is going to go. So my question then is that 400 million, is it going to cover all those items that are listed, that's probably what's going to be listed on slide number 17? Because it doesn't seem as though that's a lot of money, because I'm asking that question, not that there is a lot of money to be thrown around, but then it seems as though you will start and get to a point where you say, okay, fine, we don't have any more money, so now we stop, and we have an incomplete project. Slide number 26. On the first bullet point talks about the current revenue of the revenue that is currently received by that. Can we give an indication of what that amount is? Maybe not necessarily today, but what is that amount that you want to share? Because I see that DPW doesn't get any part of that, but they obviously do the maintenance. So what is that amount that of revenue that currently receives? Slide number 31. Just a statement I would like to make there. That annual revenue, okay, first of all, now it's now 247 because I believe that the leases have not been renewed, Honorable Chair, but can we give an indication of who the lessees are so that we just have more information as far as that is concerned? Slide number 57. Now, this is an issue that has a sore point with me. You see, now we specifically want to focus on the second bullet point, which talks to the with regards to the fishing related business investments and projects. Pro rata shares must be given to local fishermen based on the total value of the fishing license. Now, you see, that is problematic in itself. But I do understand the pro rata issue, but this pro rata, it seems as though the local fishermen are the ones that are shortchanged with regards to it. So while in my view most of the shares should be allocated to the local fishermen, most of the shares are allocated to outsiders who then give whatever is left over, if there's any bits and pieces left over, they give it to the local fishermen or the local. So in my view there needs to be clear guidelines as to what that amount must be allocated to the local fishermen, because what you find is that some of the fishermen that are allocated these quotas, some of them don't even have boats. They don't even know how to fish, but they're getting quotas. And the locals who have been there for all the years, that have spent their lifelong working in the fishing villages, they get a pro rata. Most of the time, the pro rata is small different pieces. And then, on slide number 49 to 53, those ideas, they look good again. But my question is that a real proposal? is that a real idea, or is it just a wish list of what is hoped to be achieved on slide number, those are your opportunities that are listed on slide number 49 to 58. And then on the chairperson, my last thing for now is the slide number 60. And again, yes, the issue that deals with the budget, the third bullet point, or the fourth one rather, it talks about the funding that has not been made available. And I see that there's now been a request of 45 million. Then how far is that? Where's that request? Is there any response that has been received from the minister? And how far are we with that? Thanks.
Thank you,
Mr. Speaker.
Sorry, Honorable Fernando.
I'm so sorry. You know, this colleague members here said he made a speech within half an hour or an hour. He's an opposition. He does not have any responsibility. So we have put the responsibility to the minister. Can you give me an election just to ask about the property? I see that they indicated that it is vandalized. You know, it's there. Nobody is taking this. I'm not sure. What is the status now? How many have they let it out, those properties? Because they said the problem is that it's far apart and so on. What I did not get very well to say that what made them to delay to work with the municipalities, because we are one government. We are just fear of government. And the status quo at the moment around the issue of the property, how many that they say it is still empty, taking a lot of money that can be used in the maintenance and so on. I noted the point, but Chair, can I be able to convey a message?
Just before you go, Honourable Member, colleagues, this is quite an important subject and topic and department, or part of the department that we're dealing with, because it's got certain elements also. So if we don't finish today, because I don't think they've got all the answers, then I would suggest that we schedule a meeting within the next 14 days again with DDG Governor and his team to brief the committee again on the outstanding matters, what the members has raised, because why I'm one of those chairpersons, DDG, that believe that members of parliament has got an oversight role, and they must exercise that oversight role properly, engaging with the department, and not shy away. We, although we're members of the ruling party or what party, we can't ask sweetheart questions and all that, because the communities down there are suffering. And if we ask sweetheart questions, we are not doing our work properly, what we are getting paid for, and what our parties, because all of us are sent here by different parties, what our parties are sent us to do. So if we don't finish today, then I'll ask the Secretariat to, even if we have to reschedule our program, we'll have to do that. Because this is a matter of quite importance and urgent. Honorable Pandala, you can be excused.
Yes, they must do the responses in writing. All these questions that you are asking. Because you want really to say oversight on what they expect themselves.
Honorable Pandal.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. You know, for the last 7 years I've been fighting about this harvest with all these sunken vessels. Nothing has happened in the long run on that. From the previous term, this was one of my focus points. So excuse me if I'm very pessimistic. This is just another plan that is going to come up and make all these promises, and then in the end nothing happens, and then another 7 years has passed. So I want to ask some questions around this. You know that constitutionally, fishing harbors, the proclaimed fishing harbors, are the jurisdiction, or the constitution says that it's the contribution of local government. I mean, it's... and continue. So it's constitutionally mandated to be a function of local government. all these fishing communities, they live around these harbors, they have grown up there, they know not too much else than fishing. Or working in the fish factory that were there before when there was still a lot of fish, which is not there anymore. So how have you gone out to these communities to actually listen to what they themselves have to say? I mean, in government we have the ability to create beautiful plans, and we think for the community, and then in the end, that facility is not used by the community because that's not what they want or what they need, because nobody has bothered to go and ask them. So I would like to know how that consultation with the communities went, because you can build nice places, and if you don't have the buy-in of the community, I'm very sorry, it won't help. And it will just be another plan on paper. And you know what? It seems to me, although you say you don't want to build a waterfront, but I get the idea that's what you want to do. I get the idea that the fish, the harbors, you know, they have these boats in the harbor, and systematically the rights have been reduced, the boats became less, and it looks like there was it could actually be a coordinated plan to develop these harbors by reducing the fishing rights of the fishing people that live around it, so that money can be made on a better way, because you know, fishing is not a sexy subject. Fishing is not something everybody talks about. There's not a lot of money going around when you talk about fish, but there's lots more money when you talk about creating the development of buildings and rental units and everything else. So I wanted to ask you, you said that you have good cooperation, and then I want to ask your opinion about the statement that was made yesterday by the city, and it says the city has been engaged representatives of both DAF and DPW for several years with a view to establishing cooperative basis for the proper administration of the harbors within the city's jurisdiction. These include the Hout Bay, Cold Bay, Murray's Bay, Granger Bay, and Gordon's Bay. All these efforts have come to nothing. Despite trying to negotiate memorandum of understanding with the two departments, the DAF refused to participate, and the Department of Public Works withdrew after initial engagement, despite having arrived at a draft memorandum of understanding and the implementation protocol under Operation Pakisa. So you tell us everything is hunky-dory, everybody is now friends, and then they issue a statement like that yesterday. And that is not very good, because now I'm starting to doubt what you are telling us. Is there really that cooperation and support? But maybe you can tell us why they would do something like that, because it seems like that would be counter somebody, you know. Then the special economic development framework that was created by Delta, can we see that? Can we see the whole framework, not only the part where you do one harbor as an example? Can we see the whole framework that was developed by Delta to see what is planned on all the specific harbors, so that we maybe can get to a conclusion where we can agree or not agree with it? You know, and I went to Kleinzeer 2 months back, and I went to visit Kleinzeer's aquaculture farm that was there. I heard there was one, nobody talks about it. But I heard it was there in this wasteland where the diamonds, all the ground has been rubbled up already, and it's you know, the ground is used for nothing. It's a wasteland, and these people are struggling to build an aquaculture farm because they must do an EIA. And you know, an EIA is an impact assessment environment. Now they have to go through this for 5 years and spend 800,000 rand in a place that's a wasteland already. It seems like it doesn't make sense, because the environment has been impacted, that there's nothing left of it. You know, it's just the sand heaps that are there. And that's where they want to build 500 ton Palamun farm, but they can't do it because, you know, they are stopped by the department on that, and then there's still a piece of land that is in question where there's a pump house that they need to get from you to put bigger pumps in there to supply the... I spoke about that, and then you talk about on the slide 57 where you do this investment and the projects go pro rata shares must be given to local fishermen based on the total value of the fishing rights per annum. Have you thought this through? You know, our fishing communities, and I don't want to be condescending or saying, but I just want to say that it's very difficult to get people to get together, especially when you are fishing something out or when you are, when they have to fight for the same resource. And how you are going to make this a requisite for somebody to come and develop. Now, how do you sort out the whole community if one or two of the fishermen have maybe lost some of their quotas, allocations, and there will be a huge fight for that quota because that now becomes the way of paying for your business share. So now you can imagine people that have never fished will also want to have that quota share because they also want to have a part of that business. So have you thought about it? Or can you tell us more how you actually think this is going to work where these companies, because you are talking about restaurants and everything, although you also talk about fishing related, how big is that part going to be of the whole development? I think I will leave it there. I think that's a lot of questions I might sound very pessimistic, but it's because I've waited quite for it for 7 years already and nothing has happened. It's the first time I've seen Mr. Governor here. He comes with these very good ideas. Do you have backing for it? The 400 million already went down to 300 million. Next year it will go down to 200 million and then it will go to nothing. And then all your plans don't help anything. What guarantee have you got for us that it's really going to happen? I mean, I would like some guarantee like that before I even start talking about support for it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And let me welcome the report that has been given to us. For this time, we've been waiting for this for some time. A lot of questions have been asked already. But Honorable Chair, they are talking here of one of their objectives being to redistribute wealth. Maybe we should have a presentation on how this redistribution of wealth to the disadvantaged is being done. How many have already benefited on this idea? The other issue is about the asset register for all those properties that are on the house. Do we have that? Do we know all of them? And the status, all of them, each and everyone, what is the status of each of those? And you also, on slide number 2, you also talked about empowering the communities there with skills development. How far have you gone on this one? Which skills have already been empowered with people who are around that area? And how many of them, if you can get a comprehensive information on this. You also on the slide number 6 where you talk about the rest of the other provinces being grossly neglected, only Western Cape is the one that is doing something. Why is it still like this even now, after so many years? Why is the situation like this? Aren't we having people like Mr. Johnson, who are also placed in those provinces to make sure that we don't growth in those particular areas, so that we don't have this new arrangement that is happening here? On that number 13, again here you are talking of DAF being the one that is receiving the funds and is only responsible for the maintenance and does not get anything. Why is the situation like this? Because if you have to do maintenance go hand in hand with money, with funds. How do you do those funds with the maintenance when we don't have it? And I know that in most cases with the Department of Public Works, we have this problem of not maintaining our property. In general, not only the school. In general, we have this type of a situation. And we must graduate out of this. We cannot be in this situation forever. So we need to know what is actually happening here. Honorable Chair, thank you so much. I think some of my questions have been asked already. Thank you.
Honorable Mateo.
Thank you, Chair President. Thank you to the Department of the presentation. Most of my questions have been covered by my colleagues. So let's go to two critical issues which I need to in terms of this CAP license. I said that was only one issue, which is the question of EAP licensing. So how are people to have afford to have a license for this teacher? Is that a license authority from your department or the DAF or environment? I don't know who's dealing with that. And how long does it take for community to apply for that EAP? Secondly, it's a question of skills and training. Really, we've been talking about this yes and yes, and nothing's happening. Can't maybe department together with us sit down and think of opening institutions regarding to our people to be trained? And knowing how to do, because there were people before there, those who were working with this fishing and stuff. But why can't we just open something for those people to know how to do and packaging and do their business? It's really amazing for us in 2017 talking about the issue of 2002 that we have been agreed as a department to implement this. The last one is a question of DPW as a custodian. Really, I don't understand, maybe as an asset, immovable custodian, what is this supposed to do? What is DPW doing now in terms of Harbor? Can you just maybe come with a plan? We need a plan now from here, what we should do and for how long. Thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you very much, Honourable Members. Members, it is now 10 past 12. We've got a plenary at 2 o'clock. I'm looking at our committee schedule as well. I've made an urgent call to the House Chairperson in terms of our oversight next week to the small hours. But I was thinking of calling Mr. Governor, his crew, or the committee again. Probably he's at 27. And we can then spend the whole day, instead of doing this rush thing. We can spend the whole day. But critical questions, DG, please answer that. And then also, I'm not coming to the defense of anyone here or something. But what I've heard on the ground, I've been there physically, I've talked to people. You want to ask a question?
Thank you, Chair. That question is maybe they can write, they can send me an email to us.
Okay. But I've, like I said, I've been on the ground. And I must say that what I've heard from the communities is since the
in fair terms with the government to prove it. Some call him Gaia, some call him Kaya, some call him Kaya, some call him what, some call him the Indian man. Other people are calling him uncle. But they say since he took over, the engagement level between communities and this unit has really picked up. Now, I want to say to Mr. Governor and his team, don't look at this committee as an enemy. They've got a right to ask the critical questions because they need to go and explain to their constituencies, all of us, those who explain to our constituencies and to our caucus what has been happening, what has been done, what are we doing. So also look at us as your friends. Because what you can't get right, please be open with us. Don't hide. So somehow or the other, you will be caught out. And you will be found out in terms of hiding anything from us as a committee. So be open, be honest. I believe in open and honest working relationships. Because if you fail, we fail. If we fail, you fail. And if all of us fail, South Africa fails. But for us to have South Africa working and to get our constituencies working, we need to be open with one another. So if there's anything that you need or that you can say, please, committee, assist us with this. Assist us with treasury. Find out when can we get the 300 million. Well, we can call treasury around the table and say, here we've got a request. What is the plan? When are these guys getting the money? Why must people suffer outside? It's our job to do that. It's not your job to suffer alone. Don't suffer in silence. Because you suffer in silence, we will come here and crack the whip on you all the time. All the time. And believe me and you, if these members can't get their answers here, they'll go down to the big house and get their answers on national television, where it won't be a good sight. So what I'm saying to you is that we reach out our hand to say, here's our hand, take it. We'll be able to assist you. Sometimes DDGs or DGs from other departments, they talk. But when we call them here, they say, hey, I, all that. So, Mr. Governor, you have inherited a lot of things, and your team inherited a lot of things from other DGs and DDGs and other things. But we are here to assist you in making this thing work. Because if this thing works, our community is going to have to suffer as such. So I've allowed all members, and that is the way that members have got a right to ask the critical questions. They've got a right to criticize, they've got a right to say you are doing well, they've got a right to say I've got an alternative view, we can't shoot that down. But what I want to say, please answer the critical question. By 12:45, you'll need to stop this meeting, as we want to give members a chance also to go refuel themselves. And then I'll talk to the secretariat to see whether we can get back together on the 27th, whether it's in Cape Town or Johannesburg or where else, that we can spend a full day on those type of things, a full day on this program until we get finalization and people are finished. Also gives you time to go back and get all the necessary answers. Then. Over to you.
The task of change we have is one in which we've inherited a lot of baggage of the past that we have not been touched. The reason why people do the 2009 I can accept is that as we sit here, something has to be done. Mine is to make sure that something will be done. However, it is not public work for me alone. It has to be dealt with another department. And so that is what my directive is for having me to organize. To kickstart that process of getting
we apologize that the line needs to review one. It's not review. It was to take stock of what those decisions were and to work on an implementation. The second is, with the thing with all this property, my approach has been not for me to decide which will work. That is a joint product of the Western Cape Provincial Government, the City of Cape Town, the Department of Public Works, and the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and National Treasury. We came together, Public Works funded the study done by Delta. Delta has put up the plan. We even reached an agreement with the Western Cape Provincial Government and the City of Cape Town that that plan is acceptable. But you know, in terms of your municipal act, is that plan for how they are acceptable, it must be in the SDEC of the City of Cape Town. If it is not in the SDEC, that agreement you have with the City of Cape Town is meaningless. No investor will come and put a hotel on a piece of land that the city hasn't said it is zoned for that purpose. Because an investor has to spend money with architects and engineers, or just to put a proposal. So it took 2 years because I was told, and I wasn't there, I was told, and I read, that all these entities then went and consulted the local municipalities that were not directly involved and the people. What was shocking when I meet the people now, they tell me they were never consulted. Or maybe they forgot they were consulted, right? I got now communities who understand the spatial development framework is not a secret document. We've been issuing it out since the 29th of August 2015, when we met all municipalities and businesses and custom laws to say, here's the framework, we want to roll this out, okay. Come and ask your copy. If an investor phones us and says he wants a copy, we give it to them. If a municipality wants it, in fact, we give all of them their copies on the 2019. So it's not a secret document. But the difficulty is, I have taken a flexible approach. I can't prescribe to the investor what to put in out there. I'd rather let the investor tell me what risk they will need to take for this. So we, in our discussions with the municipality, we ask them for multi-zoning rights so that they are investor friendly. Government is not spending 12 billion. All we had was 400, which is now, we told you, cut because of the economy, the treasury cut to 300. I keep my fingers crossed. I can't give a guarantee it won't get cut again tomorrow. But we have a contract with CDC. That contract says, dredge the harbor. Remove the sunken vessel. As long as people don't cut the funds anymore, that will be delivered. But if they cut the funds, I cannot deliver on another matter. We can still do things with a little we have. That's my approach. We are asking investors to come and give us 12 billion. Private sector. And so far in our engagement, municipalities have received proposals without us. We received proposals. We received a proposal for a ship maintenance at the say yeah. We received a proposal for real estate. We received a proposal for a helipad. So we received a lot of proposals. That list is not my wish list. That list comes out of what has been happening and today. Because we don't want to make the mistake where government officials can decide what book for a play when the investor is not going to take the undercut. Undercut is a very hard thing. Very few people want to go and invest in undercut. I literally have to beg people for a conversation about investing. I've got a lot of interest for Hermanus and Out Bay. I've got no interest for Lampus. No one has come to ask about Arniston and Spain. So they have a lot of job to promote these areas. That's why we work with the mayor, the municipal managers, the NED office, so we try and attract people to come in. Otherwise, everyone is going to invest in our Bay and our Bay County. Gordon's Bay is no interest. Amazing. Nobody has come to me with a single proposal for Gordon's Bay. And the three others have taken. So, in that respect, we are working hard to attract private sector. The national government has no money. The provincial government says it has no money. If you ask the local government or the district or municipality, do you have money for the bus infrastructure? No. Why? So, we are asking jointly private sector to come. If there's a bus infrastructure, so, in addition to addressing communities on our own when we get invited, or at the instance of the mayor's office, that's how we do it. Now, the city of Cape Town, it's regretful that they've issued investigating the issue. But they were upfront and honest on the 11th of January. Remember in our presentation, we got 11th of January. And that means two presentations for that. HOD Peter van Zyl gave the provincial perspective, and Deputy Executive Mayor, Alderman Ian Mills, did the presentation for the City of Cape Town. And the province was appreciative of the fact the Premier's office in their correspondence to the minister appreciates the work that we're doing and the direction we were going. That's what they articulated. In terms of the legal challenge about who owns it, the province accepted with that presentation by HOD Peter Conway, the public was in the whole matter. The custodian. However, they drew our attention to Schedule 4 of the Constitution, which stated that municipalities can perform certain functions. The City of Cape Town, in their presentation, indicated that they will be passing bylaws related to their rights in terms of Schedule 4, which in fact, if you look at the things that have emerged over the last 2 weeks, that is indeed what the route they've taken. Our point to them in the meeting of the 11th, all the other mayors in the West, is we are the owner of the property. We can only develop it if you as the city create an enabling environment. If the city doesn't create the enabling environment, then no amount of new advertising is going to bring an investor. So I will read the statement the city issued, but our position is clear. The state coastal property is in the custodianship of the National Department of Public Works in terms of the AMA and as acknowledged by the provincial government. But we are
is between that and public work over the years. Each looked at the other to see who was who was. And as a consequence, nobody expected it to be managed. Jack would do what is called harbor management, the White Harbor Master. For me, I want an urgent agreement in place between Jack and public work on how we manage our properties and who it plays much more. We cannot have a situation where our properties are managed by a person in another department who still allows our property to get managed. It cannot be. So when we spend this money fixing the train, the slipway, then the users have to pay the cost for the use of the facility, so it generates the money to maintain it. So we are clear that we are the owners of the property, we are held liable for whatever goes on in there, therefore we need a I caution to the deputy executive mayor, we might get along very well, is that if you don't own a property, don't take the risk of wanting to manage it. But if you do, then you must take the responsibility for the management and maintenance of that property. Now, all other mayors are very clear. They don't have the money, even if it was their property. They don't have the skills or the capacity, currency. Therefore, they'll rather just work with us as public work and give it a source. And if you look at our engagement, that we sing praises for the West Coast, we sing praises for Overberg and Eden, it's because of that corporate understanding. And so, in that respect, I've articulated it that we are willing to work with anybody that we have. And we put our list. We are refining those lists. We'll be publishing them in an investment brochure to call for investment. So we are not spending money, our money. So the job that we want to create on the government of the is not our money. It's what we anticipate. The first 1,000 of a billion that you saw earlier related to the 12 proclaimed harbors. So that was only West Cape, so the projection of the jobs there and what you would get. But even that report was premised that the state must be there. And ours is premised on the fact that we don't have the money to. So let's get to the money. So the 12 billion is our national target. I think to a municipality in KwaZulu-Natal, someone came there with a proposal for a 4 billion development. Now, if you get a few like that, we will exceed the 12 billion. But you can get 4 billion in KwaZulu-Natal, and if you get nothing in Northern Cape, you still have license. So how do we attract the investment? If we get 200 million in Northern Cape, I think that would be quite significant. So we still have a challenge on how to attract that. When it comes to infrastructure, even the National Party in the late 70s and early 80s had to redirect funds from your harvest. As a consequence, even the harvest in the Western Cape had to be carried out. By the 90s, we had to have a repair and maintenance program which we call the RAMP, and we had to do that twice. Just for this proclaimed harbor. So no one spent any money on any other harbor. If Javier's built us Honda Clip and they gave it to us, no one, neither the municipality nor ourselves had any money. So when it comes to government, whether it's national government, provincial government, or municipal government, there is a significant lack of allocation in the budget for the maintenance of the harbor. It's a fact. And in your current economic crisis, it makes it even worse. How do we maintain our properties in our harbors?
anyone utilizing our building pays for the cost of the maintenance. Therefore, our rentals are low. If something breaks, then they pay for it. If there's a connection they have to do for electricity, they do it themselves. Because we don't have the money. We're not a traditional landlord that gives you a building in a good condition and you use it. If you go to Iran's Bay, you'll see generally buildings have been fixed up and now the businesses are operating. Unfortunately, the storm that occurred the other day, so there's a bit of damage that was occurred. They can't come running to us because we don't have the money to pay. So that business has to fix up that roof and get it going. So I can't come here to make promises and give you a rosy picture. What I can tell you is that the municipalities that work and create an enabling environment are more likely to succeed in attracting the investors to our property, okay, than those who do not. So if any municipality is not engaging, is not opening up to the investors, is not likely to attract. I work with a municipality in the West Coast. That mayor is on the job. They always call us to engage with the investors. They are likely to succeed because they are proactive. There are other cases, there are others who don't have the same enthusiasm. So there are those throughout the country. So the asset register issue, I think that's one we'll have to maybe we'll check out and come back. But what I have discovered is we have unsurveyed and unregistered properties. The MP went to claim here. If he went to claim here, that property is not surveyed and not registered. That's your first turn. So before you can allow someone, we would like to give it to that company, because they have a request. But the municipal laws require it must be properly zoned, okay, and registered. If you went to a bank, and the property is not zoned and has an L number, they won't give you a loan. We are not the Department of Environmental Affairs, but we have to comply with them too. Take the dredging. You know why it's taking so long? Because we have to get EIA before we even dredge. Okay? And we, despite the fact that I participated in ESA, this environmental affairs, we still have to allow the officials to do so. That's taking us time. So we think we're almost there. Once you get the EIA, then we can go on and get the change. So that's part of the debate. So we all have to comply. So then one MP asks, who's responsible for that? Is it not? We are national. There's an environment in the municipality, in the province, and national. And the first port of call is the EIA municipality. I was working with the municipality in the Overberg district, and we all agreed this is the investment we want. Only to find that between the day the municipal manager, the LED, and myself, that the officials in the EIA will only have the project for almost 12 months. But you can't go and override them, because they may have legitimate issues that they are in. Yeah. So that's the issue when it comes to EIA. When it comes to public infrastructure and we don't have money, we say, if the Chinese have offered a $60 billion US fund for development of infrastructure projects, we should try to access some of them. Because we don't have money to build projects. We don't have money to build a new harbor in Port St. George or whatever. So, accessing the grant funding to do the study will enable us to access the concessional loan for a public-private partnership with South Africa to develop a building. And that's the reason we were trying to explore. And so that's the process we've done. Their condition is, if you want to access the, what you call it, professional loan, then you must take the grant funding and work in a joint venture with the Chinese bank. So the way we put our joint venture, which is about to, we haven't been formalized because we don't have any commitment to funding, is we have the CSIR, which is the scholarship institute, that has the model testing facility we need for the world, but I'll sell it in the world. And we have a lot of capability with companies like PRV, CSIR and others to be able to participate in the CCWC. So that's how we were looking at the joint venture, using South African capital for accessing the finance. Because if we say 51 million, maybe that's what we get ourselves. But it's not about the 51. It's trying to leverage the professional loan of 2% for the economy. So that's why we will take that. So in a sense, those are political decisions, not a bureaucratic decision. Finding their hands with that. But we've raised a lot of expectations in all three communities. If you take Fort St. John, which is one of the poorest parts of the country. And if you thought Fort St. John was poor, you go to Fort Collins. And then you realize how poor things are. So I thought in respect of those, I think in relation to the establishment of the entity, is to work with my director general and our minister and make sure that a report goes before cabinet on what is the current state and what agreement we need to have to establish. Now, while that is happening, we have to manage our property. So we want, what the city of Cape Town is correcting is that we have to agree with the city that how they is being managed. We have to agree with the city that there is security in the country. We don't disagree with them. So we agree with the city and we are willing to work with the city to make it happen. But none of them want to put any money. None of them want to put any money. So if people have money, they put things will happen faster. Secondly, we've got a project which could have to even put security, part of the 300 million, to overcome the shortfall of the 100 million cut to 300. One of the investors in Saldana is prepared to build, because they're building a shipyard, and they need a new facility. They will build that too. And that will be the second time we'll be repairing something that people use and break without paying us 90%. So, I've given some answers to the chairperson, but the rest I think we should get. In terms of the asset register, I'll have to go dig up and see what is in the asset register. But I can suspect we would have covered this much. Because the one area is our relationship with so-called useful municipalities. They were done in the 50s or 40s and those were called the money to be used. So that could be a lot of work. It doesn't affect the overall asset register of public work, but at least it will give us guarantee on how we achieve it. And Mr. Johnson, the person that will ask you. There's a skills development whilst you're looking at it. We are the Department of Public Works. We don't have the money to do skills development training. But whenever somebody comes with a proposal, we ask them, take the one for the shipyard, do you remember? How many engineers are you going to employ? How many artisans are you going to employ? How many of them are you going to pay their fees to train to be the artist? Now, in that conversation between the Saldana Bay municipality, the investor and ourselves, that's how we deal with skills development. because if we think the public will relocate them, it will never happen. But if we force the investment, they will be free. So that's how we want to do it. But when we come to the national laboratory, when it comes to ocean economy, we can remove on the national training plan to get higher education and basic education to play its role. Now, if we take the MOU with China, we can do a lot of work. The GERCO, we drafted the MOU, the consultation, but it's approved in the legal system. It goes from the Department of Public Works to GERCO, GERCO takes the state law advisor, they look at it, and they give their food. For example, we drafted to what is the food? So it's only waiting for the second. But you can't say the one is the food and you sign because you need your political group to sign first before the accounting office. So that's a very good action. So that's the technicality about that. Okay? We were given certain assurance that the state law advice is almost done. In respect of the Department of Transport, the Ocean Economy Laboratory brings the Department of Transport, Public Works, we've also found we need to make the transport and not basic transport. So, transport is involved. The Pakistan are new participants nationally. There are certain places that come with us to provincial agreements, but that's their general involvement. In far as the derelition of our property, I'm sure when you do your visit to St. Helena, you're going to be as shocked as I was when I went there a few weeks ago, that a building that was a running factory about 12 to 15 months ago, just months after that factory stopped, people went and yet it is in a protected zone. It's supposed to be a jury. So the importance is let our building be used by somebody. At least the user gives you the first form of the building. But it's not always the case. The issue of empowerment and our people fishing, I think for too long we've left our individual fishing at the mercy of what I call agents. People who operate, even the officers in public works property, they take all these quotas, they market it, they make the money, and our individual fishermen just get paid, whether they have a boat or not, for the quota they provide. And therefore, we've not been able to create new business arising. The few, when you go to Catalonia, and you go to St. Helena, you will notice a phenomenon called business hijacking. In Catalonia, someone takes a lead from us, from an advantage community, runs the business, then comes back without telling us, sells it to the people who are supplying. They buy a business that has no management. They gain all the quotas to buy the business. Next thing, there's a business rescue and the business entitlement. Who got exploited? The people who gave their quota in the hope they were buying and running business. Now our property is hijacked because the new business was closed. You will see that when you go to St. Helena, again, there's a hijacking of our business and our building gets. You go to Kansas. same thing has happened. Now, surely, between us as a national government, the municipality, we have to prevent these things from happening. If only our black people were this way, on the receiving end of those Now, I can't then look the other way. I have to try and find a solution to prevent that from happening. So, I took some proposals and measures, but at least it starts the conversation about trying to do something to it. By the time we get to the November laboratory, the debate is made. Do I want to put this forward in the danger? The answer is no. The danger will be invested in your other way. But the assessment we must agree on, what you are suggesting, there must be. Because you can't allow the exploitation to appear to that. So, Chairperson, I thought I just made those as my remarks. We accept your request to come before you again. We try and prepare adequately, but we don't put in all the information. We request permission to respond to you via further presentation.
Thank you, in order for us give first service, and I put it that way, to this opportunity, we really need to dedicate more time for it, like you correctly pointed out. I think this is the first time that we get such a big eye open on what is happening. We've been dealing with public work since 2014. But and we've heard in the media so much about this economy, but we've never had an opportunity to be able to tell this. The idea is not so much to bash the department. You are an arm of government, we are an arm of government. But we've got to be forthright in our critical appreciation of what has happened. It's not about scoring points or giving points to the party. This is a very, very sensitive area where it is clear that there are two races gunning for a scarce resource. Because without that fish, all of what we're talking about, you know, is just not there. And it's not man-made. It's creation by nature. So we have to come down, all of us, to find a common solution. So some deep thinking needs to take place, particularly between yourselves and DAF. You need to delve deep into. And that's basically all I wanted to say, except to add one more sentence. Do pay particular attention to opportunities being created for entrepreneurship. This notion that South Africans, particularly blacks, are already doing nothing else but labor. We're all talking all the time about employment creation, and it is definitely a limiting factor to the growth of our economy. You need to change it, you know, into that gear and say, how do we create entrepreneurs? Because it's entrepreneurs that create employment. So we're naturally, let's have some more niche on how the department will create opportunities for entrepreneurship. That was my 2 cents worth of contribution, Chair. Thank you.
Well, thank you, honorable members and Mr. Governor and department, and your provincial managers as well. There's a massive task and a challenge ahead of us. And if we don't work together, we are heading for disaster and failure. Like I said, what I've heard and what I've experienced. things now. Brazilian flippers, what? Avanias or something.
What?
Avianas or what? I just.
You're not a member.
And a short. And a t-shirt. And I thought that wearing a Zuma t-shirt, people will not come close to me. But they flocked me. They said, hey. What is happening with this harbor and all those things, Honorable Fulani? And I engaged them. And they said, no, but at least, what is happening, one thing is that this was the governor. Some called him Mr. Chetty, some called him Mr. Magnus. This was the governor. At least we are being informed. He makes a point in having meetings with us and engage with us. So, at the end of the day, colleagues, it is also our responsibility as parliamentarians to see that we give them the necessary support and also tell them in their faces where they are wrong and also tell them in their faces where they are right. But I would suggest that all our colleagues, here's your provincial coordinators, please get in touch with them so that when you are in your constituency, that you know how to deal with them. If Mr. Governor is in China and he's flying around all over China, you know that you can get in touch with your provincial coordinators. Lucky for me, I've got my provincial coordinator on speed dial. So, if I don't get him somewhere, I do get him really suddenly I have to train him which church he goes to, but I'm having him all day. So, based on that fact, I would like to thank all of you for attending, and don't look at us. You know, some people normally when they get to Parliament, or they hear they must come to Parliament, they go to the doctor to get some nerve calming tablet and that. But we are here to assist. We are here to really assist because we believe greatly that if South Africa fails, you fail, we fail. And we really want to make South Africa work. We really want to make our constituency work as such. So, Mr. Governor and your team, we will notify you within the next day or two when we will be meeting again because, like I said, this is quite a critical issue. And the last time we spent, just an hour and a half with them. I think it was still at S26, it was about 2 years ago. We dealt with you. And thank you for the comprehensive way that we can deal, but I think we still need to be in each other's company for about a day so that we can get proper and the members can be at ease when they go down to their constituencies to make and to build their communities as such. As you know, the other thing is, I would have thought that Hong Kong, even Spain, would have been a better choice than China. Because when I was in Spain in three years ago, when I was still in the National Council of Commons, they have re-established their harbors to really become job opportunities for and unfortunately the Spanish people have outsourced the working environment. They just want to go there and relax and be lazy and all that. The Moroccans have taken over the work, the jobs and all that. But rightly as you say, it's not just about fishing. It goes deeper than just about fishing. So hopefully with your study to China, we are intending of going to Tokyo and also look, or Japan, and also look at how they have also done part of these harbors of this, turn it into tourist attractions and empower the local community as such. Members, the last point is that I know we've got minutes on the agenda, but I think due to the time factor, and I'm getting all sorts of signs, time and all that, I think that we will refer the minutes to our next meeting if possible. Even if we have to do it on our oversight, we can deal with it there just for about an hour as such. And I think let me thank I haven't even got a show of Chinese, not even